your hair is longer, way longer.
Oh, really? Oh, sweet. Okay. No, I just haven't cut it.
You know, but I know it's been a couple months since we've recorded, but it seems like... Oh, hey, it looks great. Yeah. Kyle looks great. Everybody looks great. I miss you guys.
Oh, my God, Brian, how is everyone? Oh, my God, I'm like... first of all, I'm loving this. I'm loving seeing you guys, but it's been so long, so I'm like, I don't know. How is everyone?
I'm okay. I'm really busy. The two-year-old's driving me nuts. Not a lot of balance in life, but overall good, though. Can't complain.
What's his name again? I forget. Mile. Oh, my God. He's a doll and a half. I can't even handle it, Kyle. He's so cute.
Oh, thank you. He is cute. I get approached by lots of women at the grocery store when I take him shopping. They all want to see him, obviously. But
well, so you know that if you ever got divorced, that, you know.
Yeah, I got to do it quick, though, before he gets too old, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But he's just seen as a liability at that point, I think.
I just got a warning. Google Meet changed its thing. It's not free anymore. We have 1 hour.
Oh, shit.
We can do a re-invite. It just means it's not a big deal because it's not live. What it just means is if I got a feeling this episode is going to go over an hour, not by a lot, but I don't think it's going to be under an hour. I just have to pause the recording and then we'll just re-invite and then unpause the recording. It's not a big deal. It's easy. It's easy to do. So what? Maybe at the 55-minute mark, we'll hit pause and then just continue.
Okay.
How are you doing, Katie?
Say again?
Oh, I was just asking Katie how she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back in my house. I had a number of home improvement projects, so I had to move out of my house for a while, 2.5 weeks. I had to like rent a storage container and hire movers and live with my parents for 2.5 weeks with the monsters so that the floors could be redone. So the main floor of my house, I had the wood floors redone and they're done, and I had painters, and then after they're done, then I had to have painters come in. I'm just trying to like get resituated in the house. It hasn't been very long, and I can tell you very much my parents were very glad probably to see the dogs go. And then Rambo cut his paw. He had to have surgery to repair it, and then he pulled out his stitches, so we had to redo it. And so I don't know how you people with real human children handle life, but with just my freaking bloodhounds, I barely handle. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm surprised with your dog's name, Ramble. He didn't stitch himself up.
That's what my sister said. Huh. She said, oh, with a name like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, your sister's great with that kind of humor. Well, we're already recording. Yeah, we got two recordings that we can squeeze in. That's it. This is one of two before I sail for 4 months.
Are you loving being home or is it overload?
Well, I love being home and I'm home for 3 more weeks. It's going to be hard to say goodbye to the family again. This last 2 months was very busy at work. It was a very busy sale. I'm trying to explain this for like civilians, so to speak. It was like a training sales. Everything was like, go, 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 working us up for the deployment. It's like anything. You're just practicing your operational procedures and combat procedures and fighting the ship and damage control and all that. It's just 2 months of training and being assessed by the sea trainers. It's done. We passed the program. Now we can actually deploy. So the deployment is... it's longer, but I would say it's easier. It's just less, like, you're away from your family, everything, yes, and you're deployed, but you actually have a specific mission, and your downtime is actually your downtime, and so it's more of, you know, you're at work, but you're at sea, but it's not stress every day or fatigue every day, so that is that. Let's just roll right into it, so cue the music. Welcome to Going the Distance, the Rocky Series podcast. This is really exciting. We're all back together. This is going to be one of, I think, only two recordings before we take a four-month hiatus. I am going to be sailing for 4 months from August to December, so there will be no new episodes during that time. But I encourage you guys, if you haven't already, go check out some of the other shows on this network. They've really been carrying the mantle. That's partly why I reached out to all these podcasts, was because this year and next year, I hate to break it to you, I'm doing the same program next year. So I'm going to be gone for half the year next year. I know we're off to a really bad start, a really rocky start here. I didn't want to share that just yet, but I'm gone next year from June to December. So we're going to have half a year next year.
Oh, Ryan.
Our goal will be to get Creed done. I think Creed will be done at least by January, February of 2022. And then we can kind of just assess, okay, maybe before we roll into the Rambles, we might have to wait. I know it sounds crazy long, but the good news is 5 years I've been doing this podcast and it goes by fast and there's no rush. The episodes will always be out there. People are, to this day, people are still downloading episodes from when Kyle first joined or when Kyle first guest. Kyle's first episode was the, I think his was the 40th anniversary episode of the Rocky release. And he talked about his experience at the theater watching that. And that's like one of our first episodes. Because these episodes, they'll be, what I'm trying to say is they're evergreen. They're always going to be downloaded. So how are you two doing? Kyle, how are you doing? Then Katie, how are you doing?
Ladies first.
Okay, surely. Well, I was going to say the best for last, but.
Kyle, you're so sweet. No, good. I just, the dogs are in a mess, as always, with their medical issues. And I've had a lot of home improvements. And so, like, it's literally been months and since I've had my house to myself. So I love it. It's great. I'm back in the house. The dogs are somewhat healthy. Yeah. How about you, Kyle?
I'm pretty good. Not a lot's going on with me. I basically go to work and then do kid stuff till like 8 or 9. And then I watch an episode of Law and Order or something like that on Prime and then go to sleep and then do that again. And again and again.
Law and Order, that's great.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not a ton going on, but I'm happy because one of my kids is at the grandparents tonight. So,
well, that's very kind of you to share your free time talking about Rocky and Creed. And
I only need like 15 minutes or so for the rest of my night, so I'm all good.
Understood. Understood. Wow, 15. Marathon man. Okay, so Katie, you have a few emails, I believe. So I want to thank everyone that did email. So I just say, hey, if you want us to read your email during that break between from the episode 7 to this is episode 8, we did get quite a handful. If you hate email reading, again, I've said it before, you can skip ahead, I don't know, probably 20, 25 minutes. But it always brings up great conversations.
I think I'll start with Donald Bishop. He has a two-parter. And so he says, dear Ryan, Kyle, and Katie, congrats on your triumphant return.
Thank you.
We listeners missed you, although we had all the other great Action Heroes podcasts in this feed to keep us warm around the trash can at night. The Stallone Podcast Network is what started it all. First, the sad news. I might be wrong, but since you had to pre-tape the last few episodes before the break, I don't think we got a chance to say the rest in peace to Frank McRae. McRae appeared in several of Sly's films and will be missed. Time is undefeated. Just think, if McRae's character in Rocky II had given Rocky a break and fired the next guy on the list from the meatpacking plant instead, maybe Rocky II doesn't happen.
But he's saying that if Rocky basically had his job, he would have been desperate to fight Apollo.
McRae also got to say batteries not included in the movie of the same name. I always love when the movies force the title into the movie itself. R.I.P. sir. So Frank McRae must have been, he's the boss man, right?
He's like, yeah, hey, Rocky, sorry, I got to let you go. Union rules. I'm really sorry. And Rocky goes, yeah, so am I. Yeah.
He's also the guy who told Polly he was skinny. Like, you're looking kind of skinny there, Polly.
Now, Frank McRae was also in one of my favorite Sly films, Lockup.
Well, I had heard, I do feel like I had heard via some way, but maybe it was Ryan through you, that he had been in a couple of Sly's films, and he was, wasn't he a NFL player?
I think so. Yeah. He did that little football dance move when in the lockup, football yard scene, but yeah, great actor, great character actor. And yeah, definitely rest in peace, sir, Frank McRae.
Indeed. So now on to the fun stuff. Donald says, by the time you read this email on air in July or August, a lot of exciting things may have happened, both in the world and in the Sly world.
Right.
I'm writing this on May 25th. Let's see which of the following, if any, came true in the future. Oh, this is kind of interesting.
Yeah, we'll find out here.
Yeah. So one, Amazon is currently in talks to buy MGM Studios, which would give them ownership of Rocky, James Bond, and countless other films. The price tag is rumored at $9 billion.
Crazy.
Yeah. Surely they'll want return on that investment. Disney bought Star Wars for $4 billion, and there's like 10 new Star Wars films coming next year. An animated special, the new movie trilogy they did, new merch, new characters, etc. Maybe Sly's pitches for Rocky 7 and a prequel series aren't as unlikely anymore, question mark. No idea how this deal might also impact the Creed series, since I believe Warner Brothers has a co-distributor for those movies. Personally, I hope the deal doesn't go through. A few companies owning everything is a scary thought. I fully agree with Donald.
As time does march on, as it already has since our last recording over the last couple months, the talk of the prequel, just like I predicted, has ceased. There's no more, like, from Sly's Instagram, and he always likes to do stuff like that. He'll promote things, and we know that, but it's stopped. There's been no talks, no hints, no whiffs, no sniffs. Even with the Amazon purchase, it did happen. So Amazon is purchased. It did buy MGM. That did happen. I think Amazon owning Rocky's fine. Maybe we'll get a prequel series, maybe one day. I don't know. I've always said if anything happens with Rocky, it's going to be after Sly's death. That's my feeling. I said it probably way in the series, or this podcast series, when I first started. I think I made the prediction that Rocky will get rebooted and it will get remade, but it'll probably happen after Sly's passing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Whether you like it or not, it's gonna get rebooted.
Okay. I do not like it. But so Donald's second point is Sly's newest film, The Suicide Squad, should be out around the time you read this. Is it? Is that out?
I think it's out.
Past Me predicts it has received rave reviews from fans and critics alike and will finally earn Sly another Oscar for his role as King Shark. Well, maybe not.
I think he's being silly there.
He's being facetious. Okay. Three, happy birthday, Sly. The legend turns 75 on July 6th. Yeah, so I think we've all wished him a happy birthday. And 75.
It's a huge milestone. That's a big birthday.
Yeah. And he looks fantastic still.
Yeah.
Not that looks matter. Well, they do. But I hope that his health is also really...
I think it's going to be his heart that's going to go. At the end of the day, his heart is 75 years old.
Yeah.
And I know he's got big muscles and he's strong and he's healthy in many ways. Obviously, he's stronger than way, way, way bigger and stronger than the average 75-year-old. My goodness, and more active. Mm-hmm. But I wonder how the heart can keep up with those beats and those RPMs and those beats per minute. It's a machine that eventually will stop.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the exertion is good for, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm sure he's got a health specialist that talks to him. I don't know.
He probably eats really well. So he probably has less fat built up in his arteries than a 75-year-old.
I would hope so.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying though, Ryan. Like if he's overexerted, or I hate to even suggest this, but if he's used certain substances that's not good for your heart, then
well, he's got a full set of hair. I mean, we can at least for 75, that's amazing hair. Also, regarding Suicide Squad, it's not out yet. It's been reviewed by reviewers, and yes, the reviews are coming in that it's fun and it's violent and it's brutal. It's an R-rated Suicide Squad and it's a lot of fun, but it comes out officially August 6th.
Now, this is my denseness. Is this some, I don't know what Suicide Squad is. Is this a Marvel movie?
Well, it's DC, but it's a comic movie.
Okay.
It's like a bunch of ragtag bad guys in the DC universe who are, the idea is that they're in trouble, they're bad guys, and they're caught, they're in, you know, superhero jail, but they're put together as a ragtag group to take after a bigger enemy, and if they help out with the good people, they'll be released from their crimes, so to speak.
And Sly plays one of them?
He voices a shark.
Oh, he's a voice. Yeah. Oh, got it. Okay.
Like, yeah,
okay.
Like it's anime. It's a CGI character, and he does the voice work.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so Donald's fourth point is America is hoping to be mostly vaccinated by the 4th of July. We'll see.
We're going live now with Katie Geilenkirk. And what's the status in the U.S. vaccination?
Well, you know, so it was a nice, I will say in most cities, most major cities, the vaccination rate is really high. Unfortunately, the vaccination rate is super low in less populated areas. And so the...
What she's trying to say there.
Say again?
It's a white trash area.
Yeah, pretty much. And so therefore, the Delta variant is running rampant.
Right.
Which is really unfortunate. How about you guys?
It's pretty good so far. We haven't had the Delta variant increase yet. Okay, so I'm just looking at the stats now. The U.S. vaccine rate, so 57% of people, and that's everyone, even kids mm-hmm. that are eligible, mm-hmm. have got at least one dose, and 49.5% have got two doses. And then for Canada, 71% of people have gotten one dose, and 54% have gotten at least two.
71 is really pretty good.
Most eligible people, because I think it's more like 80-something percent of eligible people, because like kids great. Can't get it and stuff. But then like there's still flare-ups and stuff, and there still could be Delta variant issues, because the UK has a similar vaccination rate to Canada, and their cases have gone up a lot because of Delta variant, and it's almost mm-hmm. exclusively in the unvaccinated.
Same here. Same. Yeah, there's just a lot of misinformation, I guess. And so ours is very politically divided. I don't know about elsewhere, but because of that, at any rate, it's politically divided, and there's a certain population of the country that is just doesn't ever, no matter what, they don't plan on getting vaccinated, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
All right. Number five. Yeah, we don't want to.
Yes. No, okay. I don't want to be. Yeah, so sorry.
Don't apologize. Yeah. It's just get vaccinated, people, and go back to normal. I don't care if I have 5G in me and chips in me. I don't even care. As long as I can, you know, go to concerts.
Please get vaccinated. I beg of everyone, please. Five is first contact. According to a Redditor who claims to telepathically communicate with aliens, Earth will be visited by alien life on July 8th or possibly July 18th, he says they are peaceful and some are already living among us in disguise. Admit it, Ryan, you weren't overseas. You were prepping for the space invasion.
Past that date now. So
mm-hmm, indeed. Yes. Yeah, so we didn't get overrun by aliens.
No, so I can neither confirm nor deny my part in that.
That's hilarious. Six is more Rocky versus Drago news, with Suicide Squad out now in the future. Sly will need to promote something else before Samaritan in December. A 4th of July update could be a nice touch. By the way, do you think they chose Rocky versus Drago title because Godzilla versus Kong just made a bunch of money?
It is an interesting title. I will say the Rocky versus Drago. I don't think I hate it or don't like it. I just find it different. I thought it was an interesting title. I thought Rocky IV Director's Cut would have been just fine. But calling it Rocky versus Drago cut, it's interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays into the cut. Do they amp up the rivalry more? Is there more behind the scenes stuff with the Drago camp? So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Good point. He has a part two to his email. He says, round two, with all the future discussion out of the way, let's talk about your coverage of Creed 2. In episode 6, you got to the great scene between Rocky and Drago at Adrian's restaurant. Rocky not having pictures from Drago's fight really hammers home just how personal and traumatic the situation was for the Rocky character. If you overanalyze the dialogue like I did, though, it goes even deeper.
Well, I think we kind of touched on that. The idea that having pictures of that fight when it was basically a revenge, the whole thing was tragic. And I wonder again if the director's cut is going to make it more somber than it was in. Because part four is kind of a popcorn, it's almost a fun flick. But it overrides the dramatic death of Apollo. I don't think it's focused on enough. I think the death of Apollo was actually kind of glazed over in many ways.
It's a good point. I don't think it was like trivialized though. So I also very curious to see. So Donald goes on to say on their first date at the ice rink, Rocky tells Adrian that he takes pictures of all his fights. He shows her a photo of the baby Crenshaw fight, which Rocky also admits he lost. This means that Rocky doesn't even cherry pick his fight imagery to try to always depict himself in the best possible light. He doesn't normally mind negative photography or pics from fights that he ultimately loses. He just keeps a record of it all. But this Drago one, this one was too much. He didn't want any personal record of that, good or bad. I can't help but wonder the lack of Drago is done to try to deter customers from asking about the fight in Adrian's. Rocky likes to tell stories, but maybe that one is still too painful even now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that explanation.
Yeah. In Creed 2 episode 7, Rocky jokes that hitting the bag is cheaper than a shrink. He tells Donnie that what happened to Apollo happened even though it shouldn't have. And Donnie has to let it go. Rocky never got to deal with the trauma from Apollo's death in Rocky 4 or 5. He was caught up in revenge, training, and the immediate physical and financial aftermath of the Rocky 4 events and events of Rocky 5. I wonder if somewhere in between Rocky 5 and Creed 2, Rocky got therapy himself to deal with his guilt and is now echoing the words of his own therapy back at Adonis here. Also note the callback to Creed 1. Rocky didn't get too physical in his training. Holding the bag was mentioned here too, but here the cancer surviving, even older Rocky does hold the bag. Keep punching, Donald.
Great insights, something we didn't touch on about Rocky's own personal progression dealing with the loss of Apollo. I would almost argue in some ways he maybe has never quite forgiven himself for it. I don't think he received therapy in the sense, I can't see Rocky going to a doctor's office to get his head screwed on right. But
a head shrinker, as Polly would say.
Yes. I strongly don't think that Rocky got therapy. However, I think Rocky is pretty intelligent and insightful, and I think he basically can work it out over time. Although I do agree with you, Ryan, that he's not fully recovered from that. I think he's basically found a way to cope with it. He realizes he can't eliminate that feeling, that he'll have to live with that forever, but he can have it where he can go through his day-to-day without it impairing his functioning just as a person. I think Rocky is fairly wise, especially in his old age. He learns lessons from the past. I think that's one thing you could say about him for the most part. I feel something about me saying that right now, I'm like, oh, someone's going to point something out where he doesn't. But I think in general, that's probably true.
So I think what we're going to do, because I got a feeling you're probably not going to get a lot of emails between this and the next one. What I want to do is, because there's really good stuff, and I don't want to rush. There's another email from Donald, and I want to save it because it's a good discussion for another episode, for the next episode. And there's one from Barry. Barry, we hear you. And Patrick sent us too, but there is one from Patrick I really want to read. Like, I really, really want to read. And I think I'd rather read it now and talk about it. So this is the one that starts with, hi, Ryan, Kyle, and Katie.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so here we go.
Okay.
Patrick was the German guest in our season finale, so he's our favorite German or second favorite German. I can't remember. I didn't know Patrick was this connected with something that we're about to read here. So this is actually really quite a fascinating story, and I want... Have you read this email yet, Katie?
I have not.
Okay,
no,
so
no,
you're,
no, no,
you're
no,
going
no.
to react to react to
it as the, as it is. So the with Kyle. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. This is for Patrick Mantell. All right.
And the subject is the real sly writing on Stallone's Own fan forum. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hi, Ryan, Kyle, and Katie. As I've mentioned in an earlier mail, I'm an avid writer on Stallone's Own, the biggest sly fan forum worldwide. In April, the almost impossible happened. Sly himself chimed in on some discussion. Sly, Well, a user named Barney, who said he was the real deal. Nobody believed him, and thus he was blocked. I wasn't present when that happened. A day later, Sly told the story on his Instagram. The members of the Zone were in shock. They drove the real Sly away. Stallone's Own founder, Craig
Zablo,
who was in contact with Sly's management during the time of Rocky Balboa, contacted Sly's management to solve the problem, and Sly came back, now writing as Sylvester Stallone. He always writes in bold letters and offered some insights regarding Paradise Alley and Nighthawks. The studio butchered them. Hunter, he wants to do that next, after Little America and Creed 2. Why would he say Barry? Why wouldn't he just Barney? Say who he was? Barney. Why yeah. wouldn't he just say who he was?
I don't know. Barney is his Expendables name, of course.
Yeah, right.
I would like to get Craig Zablow. I think he might. I don't think he listens to the podcast. Maybe he does. So, Craig, if you do, I apologize, because Craig, if you're listening and I've mistakenly said you don't listen to the show, well, I guess let me know in a message. But I would actually like to talk to Craig about the Stallone Zone and about the website and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. So why would Stallone use Barney? I don't know. Rocky was taken.
But why not just as himself?
Because nobody would believe it that even more so, maybe. And I think because he wants to lurk in the forums, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he probably has lurked before. Perhaps Barney was a prior lurking account. But we don't know if Barney was a newly created account. Like Ryan said, using the Sly name is probably even worse than just some random person. No one's going to believe you. And I think he knew that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He would have to be pretty naive to assume that you can go on with any alias and have no confirmation and have people believe that you're Sylvester Stallone, because there's just too many people online that would try something like that.
Okay.
And so I think he planned to post that to his Instagram. It was like, it was a setup.
Okay. All right.
So he goes on to talk about Creed. So this next sentence is, he's still talking about Creed 2. So this is important. So this next sentence is directly related to Creed 2. So he being Sly, go on.
He seems very bitter regarding that movie. As much as we love that Creed 2 or 8th Rocky film, he suggested to a user that he should request a refund.
Wow. If the story's true, which I believe it is, I see no reason why it's not, because Craig Zablow talks to Sly's management. Sly's management talks to Sly saying, hey, the guys understandably so thought you were faking. You know, you're saying you're Sly. Who's going to believe you? Come back as Sly, and he says to a user in that forum, ask for a refund on Creed 2.
You know how he is, though. Like, he just, like, spouts off things.
Yeah, but this coincides with everything I've heard about behind the scenes. People that have been on this podcast have talked to me offline saying Sly did not like Creed 2's development. He did not like being talked to about behind his back. Mm-hmm. He didn't like the fact that Michael B. Jordan said, Michael B. Jordan told the director, Stephen Cable Jr., this is not a Rocky film.
Mm-hmm.
Too much Rocky.
That's valid. All of those things are valid. But the end product, the movie was good.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fleetwood Mac, they hated each other when they made Rumors, that mm-hmm. album Rumors. They hated each other, but it's their best-selling, most critically acclaimed album. Behind the scene tension doesn't mean the art can suck.
True.
Sometimes true. You know, the professionals, and they still did something. But Sly, I swear to you, he made Rambo 5. He literally made that film to avoid promoting Creed 2.
So Patrick goes on to say, an ironic comment from another zoner who said that Sly is probably good friends with Michael B. Jordan. Sly brushed aside and wrote that he only cares about getting the prequel series made.
I don't think they've talked since the film was made. Maybe once, maybe at one premiere. I think Sly went to the first premiere, so they must have talked then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another post regarding Creed 2 from a member was, in quotes, the thing is, Sly had all the chance to direct Creed 2, but he didn't. He signed on and then had a change of mind. I understand the frustration, but it's also his fault in a way. Sly's reaction, I like you, but you are so wrong.
I know this guy's wrong, and I'm glad Sly called him out on that. I'm telling you right now, Sly was fired. I'm not saying it was, what do you call it, affirmative action. I'm just saying they had a Ryan Coogler, black director, black film, black main character, and that was part one. They wanted the same thing for part two. The studio wanted another young, up-and-coming director, and they picked, albeit an unknown at the time, and he hasn't really done much since, no offense to Stephen Cable Jr., a black director. They said, Sly, sorry, this looks good. Sly won't say this, and I'm guessing. If I'm wrong, then so be it. But, and I'm not saying that's the only reason, but it probably played into what happened. Like, I can't imagine, like, they didn't hire an Australian. They didn't hire a guy from the UK. They hired, you know, somebody who has their pulse on this community, and that's fine. But Sly, I think, was fired. I think he was, you know, you will still have the written creative control, but, you know, we'd like to have the vision of a young black director, because that will speak to audiences that are coming to this film to have that kind of vision, maybe. And maybe just money-wise, it might make more money. It's all about money.
What's going to put butts in the seats?
You know, is a 73-year-old director or 71-year-old director going to bring butts in the seats, or, you know, a young, hip director?
And it was, two was, I thought, a significantly better film than one.
It was. Stephen did a great job.
Agreed.
And Sly wrote the film, which is, I think, speaks to it as well. I think the creative storyline and dialogue and everything was Sly. I think he had some help from a couple guys. But so at the end of the day, I think Creed 2 is a better film, but that's the irony, is Sly did not have a good time.
Wow. Okay. So Patrick goes on to say he also wrote that it was heartbreaking to see Rocky's scene at Spider Rico's funeral cut, and that the director, he stopped in the middle of the sentence and wrote that he should better stop here. Have you guys seen the cuts? Do you know what he's referring to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone that sees that, if you go to YouTube, go Google right now, if you haven't, Spider Rico's funeral, Creed 2 deleted the scene. And you read the comments, and I guarantee you, without even reading them right now, all of them probably say, why was this cut? Why was this taken out? Every Rocky fan is saying this. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you why, because it plays into the narrative that too much Rocky flashback narratives to the films of Rocky films, the Spider-Rico character. They're trying to distance the Rocky narrative, so when Creed 3 comes out, which it is, it fits the narrative, there was no Rocky. Like, we've moved on. Whether you like it or not, I don't want it to suck. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder how it's going to play out to audiences.
Yeah.
Keep going. This is good.
So there you have it. Creed 2 really was a bad experience for Sly, and it seems he doesn't like the movie at all. There's an ongoing Q&A on the Stallone Zone. I asked about PoE.
Poe. It's an Edgar Allan Poe film that he wanted to do. Sly has an Edgar Allan Poe script that he's had since before Rocky.
What?
Yeah, and he's one.
I thought it was a, because it's like in all caps, I thought it was okay. Really interesting. Yeah.
So he's been wanting to do this passion project forever, but now obviously he can't because of his age. So that ties into the question here.
Okay. I asked about Poe and if it would hurt him very much if that film wouldn't happen after all this writing and rewriting. And although he answered almost all of the other questions, he omitted mine. I tried again with a Jason Statham related one, but again, he missed out on that one. There are a few Rambo level questions. Sadly, he often chooses the Backtrace level ones.
That's great.
Looking forward to the next episodes around August. Until all the best, cheers, Patrick. So he chooses the softball questions.
That's his business, right? He can't slam the industry too hard about his feelings on some things, but boy, if you go to the Stallone Zone and read the Q&A's, it's pretty apparent that this person saying that they're Sly is certainly carrying the narrative of he wants to do the prequel series. So there you go. Even from a month ago, he's saying he still wants to do the prequel series.
Really interesting. I didn't know about the Edgar Allan Poe one. That's interesting.
There's actually a photo on the internet of him dressed up as Edgar Allan Poe in his back in the theater days. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Kyle, you got anything on the behind the scenes banter on the Stallone Zone?
No, not really, to be honest with you. Personally, that stuff doesn't really interest me a whole lot. So, I don't know. Like, everyone has their own interests. I know that's like you particularly like that stuff, and you're a connected guy. You got connections in that area. Yeah, I don't.
I hear things. A lot of canaries floating around. You don't think I hear things?
You're the Gazo of this Stallone world.
Oh my God, I love that. You don't think I hear things?
What we'll do is, it's up to you guys. We can either finish the emails and just have this as a discussion episode, or we can do some Creed 2 movie talk and then save the emails for next episode. What do you guys want to do? What are you in the mood for?
I'm more in the mood for the films, although I think So we spent quite a bit of time on the emails. Like, how much time do we have to do films?
Well, however much time we want. I knew this episode would be a little bit longer because it's, but I don't want to take away from your evening here. So we can do 20, not 20 minutes of film, but we could talk about the film for.
Yeah, let's do the film.
Okay.
I agree with Kyle. Let's do the film.
All right. So we'll save. So guys, Patrick, we have another email from you. Barry, we have one from you. And Donald, we'll do your third one on our next recording. If any emails come in before that recording, which will be 2 weeks of this recording, I know it's not going to make any sense to anyone listening, but we'll just see if we'll read them. But yeah, let's go. These are great emails. I knew I'd want to read these. Great discussion. So here we go into the film. The last scene that we left on was Adonis watching his dad die on his iPad.
When my eyes and I was young, now to say I ran away from home. I thank you, I learned the world. Oh, yeah. They think I'm a broken girl. Oh, yeah. I think I'm in love with lost.
Amazing voice. Sorry for the theatrics. The people like a good show.
That was a grimy move, bruh.
Ain't nothing personal. Can't say I'm proud of what I supposed to become, but that's the game.
You call it whatever you want. Sounds to me like you just trying to get paid.
The money is a side effect. The rumble in the jungle didn't just manifest itself. Somebody had to make it happen. Will it into existence.
Oh yeah, that's supposed to be you, huh?
You see anybody else standing here with a camera in their heart? I want the same thing you want.
Yeah? What's that?
In the history of boxing, there have been 77 heavyweight champions. You know that? But how many do you think they know? 4? 5? The belt ain't enough. You need a narrative, something sticks to the ribs. Your dad, he knew that.
Do yourself a favor, bro. And quit while you're ahead.
Self-preservation. At least you got that over your old man.
Oof.
And it must be Rocky whispering in your ear.
What do you think of that scene?
Okay, from a filmmaking, like from the dialogue perspective, I think it was good. Like, I think that sets up well, shows how much of a dick this guy is, how he messes with Donis's head here. I thought Michael's acting was good. You could see some, like, vulnerability in his eyes at the end. You could see that that guy was getting to him, but without him having to say anything. So I thought that was great quality. One thing that annoys me that probably doesn't annoy most people, I hate it in these films, and it's especially the Rocky Balboa to Creed 2 films. They reference real-life boxing stuff that happened during the Rocky era, and the Rumble in the Jungle happened in 1974.
So how would that fit into the Rocky universe, Kyle?
Well, I guess that would have happened right before, unless you would have said Apollo Creed is the one who fought George Foreman or whoever it was.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, explain what the Rumble of the Jungle is real quick. They should know, but
George Foreman had become heavyweight champion in, I think, 1972 over Joe Frazier. Ali, who had lost to Frazier in 71, and Ali challenged, or I don't know who challenged who, but Foreman and Ali were set to fight next. Ali was looking to get his title back. He hadn't had his title since it was stripped in the late 60s. The government of Zaire, which is now called the Democratic Republic of the Congo, paid $10 million, five to Ali, five to George Foreman, to fight there. And Ali was considered having almost no chance to win that fight because Ali lost to Frazier. And sorry, I said he lost his title to Frazier. That's not true. He tried to regain his title from Frazier and lost. Foreman knocked Frazier down like 7 times. He destroyed Frazier. He destroyed Ken Norton in like 2 rounds, and Norton had also beaten Ali at this time. And so it was seen as Ali would never, ever be able to beat him. And Ali ended up winning by knockout in the 8th round. And he did that rope-a-dope strategy where he set up against the ropes. and got hit and basically tired Foreman out, went for the knockout. That essentially is what the second Clubber Lang fight was a parody of.
Right.
So to me, that weirds me out that that is now canonized in the Rocky universe.
In the Rocky universe, Rumble the Jungle existed. Yeah, we know Foreman is definitely in the Rocky universe because he's been mentioned twice now, the Rumble in the Jungle and in Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, and Joe Frazier exists in the Rocky universe. And also, Creed was talking to Frazier, next time, Joe, you're next, Joe.
Yeah.
It's not for sure that they fought before, but you kind of presume that they have.
Yeah.
So it's like Creed is basically Ali. So I guess Creed fought in the Rumble in the Jungle. That's like the only way you could explain that.
What I liked too about this was what the promoter did to Buddy is he said that, you know, there's 77 champions. And if you ask these kids in the crowd of this wonderful performance by Bianca, we didn't mention the beautiful song she was singing. Oh,
boy. I love the hoo-hoos part of it.
Oh, like, hoo-hoo. Beautiful, beautiful song. I love how Buddy says she's got a beautiful voice. No, she doesn't. But that being said, I like Buddy saying, like, there's 77 champions. You ask anyone in the crowd, they might know four, so they'll probably know Creed, Rocky, you know, Ali, or whatever the universe is holding.
Yeah.
And he's right. You know, you go ask any average person, name me four heavyweight champions, you might not even get four. And so the narrative is a very good point. So you need to have a hook, you need to have meat on the ribs. So that's it. He wants to sell tickets, and that's what sells tickets. That's what gets people watching Conor McGregor a million times over, because he has a story that comes with him. You know, people want to see him get his face punched in. That's what puts butts in the seats. It's not necessarily the fight itself, but the narrative of the fighters.
And it's a real uphill battle nowadays because people do not care about heavyweight boxing like they used to.
Right.
No. So even more so now.
I'm serious. Amazing voice.
No. You can't be serious.
Yeah, this guy, he's basically the reincarnation of
George Washington Duke.
Yeah, George Washington Duke, who is obviously based on, what's his name?
Don King.
Don King, yes, thank you.
So I was thinking the same thing. He's poking all the, you know, like, maybe we should have Mrs. Balboa fight Union King.
Yeah.
Apparently she's the one with the conies in the family. There we go, big scene here. So now Adonis has gone to Rocky's house.
Yeah, how you doing, kid?
We gotta talk.
Let's take a walk and get some air.
Okay.
Kind of stuffy in here.
Now, why do you think Rocky wants to go outside with this discussion?
I think it's more neutral ground. Because you come into someone's house, you're in their house. You might not feel comfortable enough to, even though it is Rocky, to really be as candid as you want to be. I think sometimes you get outside, you kind of feel like you're on an even keel, level playing field. And also, I think it's easier to walk away if the conversation goes south. If you're outside, you can walk back into your house. If it goes south, what are you going to do? Walk in your room and then Adonis is like still in your house, or kick him out and ask him to leave? So I think it's good strategy to have it outside.
So we're under the impression that Rocky knows this is going to be a sensitive conversation.
Yeah, because he saw what's on TV. He's been in this situation kind of with Duke before and in other things, or in Rocky II when people are goading him to fight Apollo again. So, yeah, he's not dumb in that way. He knows for sure what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go into their discussion. They go to the bottom of the stairs, I believe. He's just going to talk about this light for a second here and go back 10 seconds.
Just take a walk and get some air.
Okay.
Kind of stuffy in here. Look at that light. Things been broken for a couple years. It's driving me crazy. City won't fix it or nothing. What good is a light that don't light, right? Kind of funny, man. I don't know. It's stupid, too.
So his little small talk there to kind of...
It's like real world stuff. It's like a nice touch. That's like a real thing that somebody like Rocky would care about.
Shows you his universe in a weird way. Like, this is his house. This is where he, you know, so these are the things he notices. The light outside his house doesn't work. The city won't fix it. And in Rocky Balboa, remember when he changed Little Marie's light? Let there be light.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Almost kind of like he has Asperger's or something. He's like obsessed. Like, it has to be, you have to have the light working. You can't have a burnt out light bulb.
And Adonis is, yeah, that's great, Rocky. Look at it on his face.
Look at his face. Yeah.
Hey.
I gotta take the fight.
Why?
These dudes killed my pops. Now they parading around talking shit. I can't let that slide. I'm the champ, right? So I ain't got a choice.
Choice? That's the same thing your father said, and he died right here in my hands. Look what his choice put your mother through. You don't want to really bring all that stuff up again, do you, kid?
I thought you would get it. If I don't take this fight, I gotta live with it right now.
That kid was raised in hate. You know what I'm talking about? You weren't. Don't do it.
But you did.
It's different.
It was different.
It's a lot different. I was supposed to be in there with Drago that night, and not your father.
Okay, this is big. So this is what makes this film such a great sequel to Rocky IV. First, he talks about how Apollo died in his arms. That's a great moment from the trailer. I remember that part was in the trailer. I was like, whoa, they're really talking about Rocky IV. Like, they're just out and out talking about it. Because even in Rocky V, the actual sequel, and Rocky Balboa, there's like there's almost like no talk about IV, you know?
Agreed.
So here they're really addressing it. And as Rocky fans, we're kind of geeking out because we're hearing Rocky's thoughts on this. He's right that we forget that he was supposed to be in the ring that for that exhibition fight. It was supposed to be Rocky doing a dance routine or whatever he might have done.
Dance routine.
If Rocky did do a dance routine, here's a question to our listeners. What song would he have danced to?
It's not unusual to...
That's a really good question.
Which one's that, Kyle? I don't know.
That's the Carlton one. Tom Jones.
Oh,
it's
not
unusual. It would be... I don't know. Good. What do you think, Ryan?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
He wouldn't.
Yeah,
he would. He would.
He's not a dancer. He's not a. He's not a showman like Apollo was.
Right. Well, he did do a little dance in Creed Part One. Remember that in front of a Adonis in his house. He did a little bit of. Woke up early and he was dancing, showing how the pep in his step early in the morning. But anyways, this
he'd be all business. All business. Yeah.
So this was what I liked about this. This was really a cool little moment where he's saying, "Look. Had I told your dad, forget it, I'm going to fight him. Sorry, it sucks to be you, Apollo. It sucks that you're not the champion. Drago wants to fight me." Rocky would not have been killed because his head just does not, you know, it can take damage. And he would have taken the fight more. Because even he told Apollo, look, we don't know anything about this guy. We got to train. So Rocky would have
trained. He would have lost.
He would have lost.
Yeah.
But he would have died and neither would have Apollo. Agreed.
Yeah, same, same. Also, I think Rocky has that feeling of responsibility too. He said that. He said that before. He should have thrown that towel. And he feels somewhat responsible for Apollo's death. I think fighting Drago was part of his way to atone for that. And Creed has no such connection. The only connection he has to his dad is that the genetic connection, the name now, because he took on the name, and that they're a boxer.
And his mother was one of the dancing girls.
Yes, of course. Of course. I understand how Adonis feels here. Someone says something to you or someone calls you out or challenges you or something like that, how you don't want to let that slide. You know, you have your self-respect as men too, that ego and that concept of masculinity that you don't want to be like dominated by other people or you don't want to be perceived as weak. That's a big thing, especially if you're a heavyweight champion. Like if someone's talking about your family, challenging you, calling you out, and then you don't take that fight, how you're going to look to people. To me, I think that's the main thing. One thing I found interesting, though, that I didn't think of before is when Rocky was mentioning Creed's mom. What's her name? Marianne. I want to say Marie, but I knew that wasn't right. And how that would affect her. And he kind of acknowledges that, but then throws off, well, this affects me now. And to me, that's such a young person way of thinking, like a 20-something. He's not a 20-something, but like...
He's 28 now. He was 30 in Creed Part 1, but he's...
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, he's become less mature in the films here. But it's like he doesn't care how she feels. And I can see her feeling like that. She saw her husband die from this guy. And then this guy's clone or whatever, her son, comes there. And now she has to relive that. And he does not give a shit.
No, he's being very selfish here.
Very.
I could have thrown in the towel. I didn't. And I got to live with it. When I did get in that ring, that guy broke things in me. I ain't never been fixed.
No therapy, see?
I think he means physiologically.
No, he means both physical and mental.
I agree, yeah.
How do we know that?
That's what he's alluding to. He's talking about the mental damage. He's definitely mentally damaged from that whole fight.
Indeed.
Okay, I personally never saw it that way. I certainly think that could be the case. To me, it harkened back to the brain damage he suffered, and
like, yeah, I totally took it as the mental toll.
Obviously, I did the physical, too,
but the mental toll. That's interesting.
I did too, Ryan.
Listeners, let us know. Is it mental? I know it's physical too, of course. You got brain damage, but I think the things that have never been fixed, I think that answers a question that no therapy has. Or if he did do therapy, it's not. He's not fixed. He's carrying this weight, this metaphorical weight.
Greg, if you're still listening, buddy, I need you to back me up on this.
Yeah.
No. Greg, oh, you're wrong.
Greg always backs up Kyle, and I don't know if Greg listens anymore. We'll find out.
No, you know what, though? Greg wouldn't back me up unless he legitimately agreed, though.
I know.
He wouldn't. Yeah.
Greg's good like that.
That guy broke things in me. They ain't never been fixed. It's not worth it. Not at all. Why do you want to fight?
What you talking about? I just told you why.
No, you didn't, Donnie. Why do you want to fight? I get why they want to fight you. I know what they're fighting for. What about you? Listen to me. You got everything to lose. He's got nothing to lose. When a fighter ain't got nothing to lose, he's dangerous.
I'm dangerous.
No, you're not.
You think I'm gonna lose?
I didn't say that.
Same guy that said he ain't have enough experience. Raw, right? But you don't think I could beat him? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not going to be here forever.
And what's that supposed to mean?
It means you got to do some smart thinking.
Oh, you want to talk about smart decisions, Rock? You in this house all alone. Who's been taking care of you? Me. I've been here for you. Who else you got?
So he's on the attack now.
Oh, yeah. This enrages me, hearing this. This really pisses me off. I don't think he's taking care of Rocky.
Uh-uh.
Rocky doesn't need to be taken care of. Alluding to the fact that Rocky's alone is somehow due to poor decision making.
Yeah.
I guess that's partially true because his fatherhood is not the best.
Mm-hmm. The son thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But still, sons move away, right? Even if he got along with his son very well may have still gone to Vancouver. And he moved away from his mom. Like, he should know that. To me, it's taking a cheap shot. The fact that Adrian's not there, that's nothing to do with Rocky's decision making. Like, she got cancer.
I agree. I think he's changing the subject or deflecting in some way because one has nothing to do with the other. Rocky is saying, this guy's really dangerous. And Donnie is saying, well, so am I. You don't think I can win. And Rocky's like, well, I didn't say that. And then he totally changes the subject and attacking. Like now he starts to attack Rocky because he also fears. He fears that Rocky believes that he can't win, and he fears he's not maybe as good as he thought he was. Or
this is Rocky 3, where Mickey's like, it's your life, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocky knows he'll lose.
Yep.
Just like Mickey knew Rocky would lose. But it's like when Rocky told Mick that he won.
Yeah.
Mick didn't believe him.
Oh, you don't think? I like to believe that he did.
Yeah. Rocky said to Mick that he KO'd Clubber in the second. And there's not a chance in my mind in hell Mickey would believe that. With Mickey saying to him, like, you can't go toe-to-toe with this guy. He'll deposit you up there in Mars. Like, this guy's never gone 15 rounds. If Rocky would have said, I beat him on points in the 15th or I knocked him out in the 15th, maybe he would have believed that.
My opinion of that was Rocky lied to Mickey and Mickey lied back to Rocky that he was pretending to believe him so Rocky would feel good.
Yeah, I agree. But there's also an allusion to Rocky 2 in this scene. So Tony's in the fight, the last fight. Tony's like, this man is dangerous. He's breaking you up inside. And he's like, he's dangerous. I'm dangerous.
Yeah. And like father, like son.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's funny that Rocky's not saying to Adonis. He doesn't want to hurt his feelings.
He told the truth. He's backpedaled a little bit. He's like, oh, shoot. I'm not saying it verbally, but I've already just said it.
If someone says, do you think that? And you're like, I didn't say that.
Yeah. Put doubt in his own fighter's head, and that was a mistake. I think Rocky realized he's being truthful to somebody he cares about, but now he's realizing, oh crap, you know, this guy's gonna fight, and now he's gonna have doubt and now with Adonis doubting, he gets fearful. When he gets scared, he starts lashing out. It's all standard argument tactics.
I'm taking this fight with or without you.
It's gotta be without. Can't do it.
So that's it? You walking out on me? At least you ain't got to worry about throwing in the towel this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always taking the high road, Rocky.
Yeah, he has that maturity.
Ooh, Adonis, he says some horrible things there.
I think Rocky understands this concept. Have you heard the phrase hurt people hurt? Creed is hurt right now by what's being said about him and the conversation with Rocky. And he knows Rocky thinks he'll lose. And he is hurt and he is lashing out and trying to hurt Rocky, throwing the cheap shots.
Yeah.
Throwing in the towel comment. And I think Rocky understands that. And I think Rocky also has the maturity and emotional stability to just walk away.
Yeah, he doesn't want to cause, he doesn't want to say something he's going to regret. He was hurt. Yeah. I think he was ready to say, yeah, some bad things. So he just said, nope, I'm just going to, okay. They're both very angry here at each other and for each other and scared and hurt and everything at the same time. So
do you feel like you would be able to do that?
To do what Rocky did?
Yeah. Instead of saying what you felt. He just said, yep.
This is why I love the Rocky character because, yeah, I think I would have been defensive. I would have been like, come on, man. Like, why are you saying that? Mm-hmm. Or like, what, you, now if, you, if something happens to you, you're going to put that on me too? Like, I can't win. You know, you get hurt in the ring, I'm going to get hurt. You get hurt when I'm not there, you're going to get hurt. Like, either way, I lose.
Right.
You know, I don't think I'm strong enough.
I could see myself doing it, but I could also see myself losing it. I have a bit of a temper. If I got past a certain point, then I would just unload on him. I'd say some hurtful things. Yeah, it's kind of one of my weaknesses in fights and stuff like that. I could take the claws out and get pretty brutal with people. Sometimes I'll not say something just to avoid doing that. For me, that conversation could have gone either way.
Mm-hmm. That would have been hard.
Tough scene, boy. Again, great scene, great acting. One of the highlight scenes in the movies, the drama, the tension. Sly's acting again is, again, as much as he might have had behind-the-scene issues, I will say it 100 times, and I apologize for repeating myself. His acting in Creed 2 is on point, man. I love it. And the callbacks to the Rocky IV film, this is a true sequel to Rocky IV. I love Creed 2.
Me too.
I think it's pretty high up there for me. Because the Rocky scenes are amazing. Michael B. Jordan does a better job. He embraces the character better in this episode, movie compared to the first one. He makes his own much better. Everyone's just better in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is just another great scene. The dialogue, you know, things broken me that never been fixed, and I'm dangerous. You don't think I could beat him? All this stuff. It's a great scene.
Really good.
That's another thing that to me harkens to Rocky II, when Apollo was at the desk. When it's like, what are you afraid of, Tony? Right. And Tony all but said he could beat you without really saying it.
Really good point.
We don't need this kind of man in our lives. Like you hit this guy and he just keeps coming after you.
Imagine if Rocky's nickname was the Italian Meatball instead of the Italian Sally. Then his name would have been picked in that book.
Yeah, exactly.
The Ultimate Meatball. Sorry, that's right. The Ultimate Meatball. sounds like a damn monster movie. But if it was the Ultimate Meatball, Apollo would have been like, oh, that's a stupid name. I can't have Apollo Creed versus the Ultimate Meatball.
No. That's a wrestling thing. That's the Thunderlips coined that.
Yeah, yeah? I love that. The Ultimate Meatball. All right, guys. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a big supersized episode. Yay for me to edit, but I'm excited that we did it. I really love talking to you guys, and I hope our listeners enjoyed it as well. We've got some big emails to read next week, and we'll continue with the film. I'm glad we divided it up. Those are some good scenes, of course. Yeah, unfortunately, just one more episode before the big break. Again, if you haven't already subscribed to the channel, we've got a Bruce Willis podcast, an Arnold Schwarzenegger podcast, Steven Seagal podcast, James Bond podcast. More Rocky Minutes are coming out. Season 3 is coming out. And I think by the time I'm done the sale, Rocky Minute Season 3 will be out. I'm guessing as well. Spoiler alert. Ooh. I am recording with Doug soon, and my 5 minutes of that film will be the, speaking of Mickey's death, I will be covered. I asked for the Mickey death scene, so I'll be, so I'll be doing that. And I'm also recording with the Dolph Lundgren podcast. I must break this podcast. I'm recording with Sean. I forget what the movie's called, but I'm reviewing Dolph taking on zombies. So I look forward to that.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of stuff still coming. So subscribe to the channel if you want to hear me on that stuff. And those guys are, like I said, all those guys do a great job. And again, the reason why I wanted to do this network was not that people need stuff, but I knew in my absence, I just kind of wanted that content to kind of pump out of the channel. And these guys, we've all worked together in our own capacity. They do a great job, and in fact some of them are better than me. In fact they're all better than me. So okay. I'm a fan.
That's not true.
I'm a fan of the shows. They're really good at their stuff.
Yeah. I would agree. I've listened to, I think, at least one of every series, and yeah, they're good.
They're all unique and have their own voice to take. So, yeah, they're all great. Anyways, there you go. That's the plug to the network, the last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, which is now all the shows fall under. So, but this has been an episode of Going the Distance, the Rocky series, and Creed podcast. And what do we do, Kyle? You ding ding this one, and we'll know it's Katie for the next one.
Ding ding.
So let's go there. Let's make a wish cave. Come on, let's go there. Us, can we stay? Can you take me higher to the place we blind men see? Can you take me higher to the place we?
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for hanging out with me.
Oh, my God. Welcome back. Welcome back for your short little period.
I know.
Are you, like, overloaded on stuff? Booked to the nines?
And... Yeah. Not yes and no. We're just going to family time. My dad's birthday's coming up soon. We're going to do some family time. Just relax.
That's great. Oh, that's fantastic.
To spend time with the kids and help Becky. Like, today she took a nap. You know, she was able to take a nap because I'm home. You know, that kind of stuff.
Oh my God, this is why I don't have children. Best business.
I know.
That's fantastic, though. That's great. Good for her.
They're monsters. Not your kids specifically, right? But
children generally.
Yeah, they're a lot of work. And we have you saw our rescue dog, right?
Yes. I need to hear more about this, Brian. I kind of forgot about it until you said that.
I got to get running, though.
Okay.
But I don't want to cut you off in your conversation.
I just wanted to hear more about the dog because I'm a big rescue dog advocate.
Yeah. Sorry. You guys, please continue. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Adios, senor.
Adios.
Our son, who's 14, he's on a spectrum of stuff that he needs. And so we were able to get a therapy dog. We hired this company, and they find a dog that fits your family's needs.
Oh.
So it's a therapy dog. So we asked for a dog that was good with children, good with other dogs. So they find a dog that fits all these things. And if it doesn't work out, they'll take the dog back.
Okay.
So this is a rescue dog. And so where its first home was in a foster home, waiting to be adopted. It was found in Mexico, starving in the streets, starving to death, broken tail that didn't heal properly. And now she's just fully loved and well fed.
Girl. I thought it was a boy.
No, it's a girl. Her name's Gabby.
Gabby.
Yeah. And she's just the sweetest, biggest suck you'll ever see. You pet her, it puts her paw out, like, no, don't stop. Don't stop. She just loves
her. Oh, my God. I love her. Yeah,
she loves belly rubs. She's great with other dogs. Never barks at anybody or anything. She loves other dogs. Very temperate. And I took her jogging today, and she's doing really good now, like running beside and walking beside. She's a fast learner, too. She's a beautiful, sweet little dog. She's not little anymore. She's a mid-sized dog, and she's a mix of everything.
She's like 50 pounds or something? Like, what do you think she...
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think it's 50, but maybe 35.
Okay.
35. She's bigger than I thought when I saw the pictures. She would be like the size of a... I don't know. I'd have to... Yeah, I'll ask Becky, but I think it's 35 pounds. I think it's healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's awesome. So your son is, what does he think?
Yeah, he loves all the kids. So that's the thing. It's a therapy dog for all the kids. So basically we got prescribed for us to do this routine because we save money on getting the therapy dog because it's like a doctor's prescription. So that's kind of how it works. So we get a discount because it's a process to get this. It costs money.
That's fantastic.
It makes everyone feel it's good for the whole family.
I love that. Well, congratulations on the new addition.
Yeah, thank you.
That's amazing. So I love it.
Our house is complete chaos, but it's good chaos.
Oh my God. Yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So good seeing you again. One more recording in a couple weeks, and then that'll be it for a few months. I know.
I don't want to hear it, hopefully I'll see you again in a couple weeks, and then I'll deal with the repercussions of not seeing you guys later.
Yeah. Have a good night. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.